We've had several Sundays when we've had snow in the morning, but usually the congregation outnumbers the choir, and it may eventually, but the faithful members of the sanctuary choir come through again and again. So anyways, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's nice to be back among you. Yeah, it seems like it's been a long time, and I know it has been a long time. We've changed venues for worship, and there's snow on the ground and a lot of things. But anyways, it's good to be feeling well enough and strong enough to be with you today. And I'm very, very grateful for the congregation and the ministry of the Reverend Dr. Rich Robinson for being here while I was out. But I'd also like to thank everyone for your calls and your cards and food that's been given to me and shoveling that's been done for me, because I'm not supposed to be doing a lot of physical things, and also, most importantly, for your prayers. But it is good to be back among you. So saying that, we hope that a few more folks will come in as we continue our worship service. And do want to invite all you to stay. There's lots of food on the table in the kitchen. So please, you know, feel free to make sure you stop and enjoy some food that's been prepared for us during coffee hour after the service. And most of the meetings this month have already taken place. I think I missed them all. But the back page does list, and we are, Bible study did resume the last 2 weeks. Marilyn, thank you for leading Bible study while I was out. But we are going to resume our study of the Adam Hamilton book on about discovering the Bible, and we're going to be chapter 19 is where we're going to start. I'll send an email out this afternoon about that for those folks who weren't here this past Wednesday. But we will have Bible study on Tuesday, and you will also note on the back page the announcement there about our annual business meeting, which is scheduled for Sunday, February 7th, 2 weeks from today. There will be a light, I presume, soup lunch prior to the business meeting, which is scheduled to begin at 1. We also will have our Super Bowl of Caring offering that day. And in addition, the day before, Saturday the 6th, is Habitat for Humanity North Shore's International Food Fair. And we are, again, doing the Korean table, Marilyn. Okay, so we with in conjunction with Global Ark Baptist Church, which is the Korean congregation that shares space with us and worships at 1 o'clock here in the parlor or in the sanctuary, depending on where we're worshiping, they, and with us, will be sponsoring the table at the food fair. And that's at First Church Swampscott on Saturday, February 6th. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 98 for our responsive call to worship. This is a familiar psalm, Psalm 121. Many of us know this by heart, probably from a different translation, so I do encourage you to watch the words that are printed in the hymnal. They might be slightly different from what we know from memory. So let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip.
He who watches over you will not slumber.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun will not harm you by day.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Our opening hymn is Eternal Father, Strong to Save, number 764. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Together. Oh God, how wonderful you are, and how good it is to be in your presence. We bring to you our entire lives this morning, our joy and our grief, our patience and our worry, our dreams and our despairs. Like a longtime friend, you know us from beginning to end. You travel with us throughout our lives. In these moments, we seek the newness of life that you offer to each of us. In Christ's name, we ask all of this, and we now join in the prayer that he taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. Marilyn, did you want to do an intro?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
I just wanted to mention one thing before we start with the retired ministers and missionaries offering promotion, that Mass Baptist Multicultural Ministries puts out a newsletter called The Loom, and I have a copy of the most recent one on the table up in the pile of kitchen, so if you'd like to take a look at that, more than welcome to. Well, we have some good news. I don't know if anybody noticed, but we have gone over our goal, 5-10, for the retired ministers and missionaries office. Yes. But we have today somebody that actually is a recipient of that in the form of a retired minister, and it's Reverend Doreen Parker Freeman, and she's going to tell us a little bit about this offering from her point of view.
Well, here I am again, standing before you as a retired American Baptist minister to promote the annual offering to the retired ministers and missionaries offering. And each year, around this time, the envelopes designated for this special offering arrive to all American Baptist churches. And so, since fitting into the category of being a retired minister, I am an annual recipient of the very welcomed check, which is partially funded by your annual giving to our MMO, as it's called. So for 8 years now, doesn't seem that long since I retired, but for those years, I have experienced that thank you gift. Of course, it isn't just the material gift that touches me. A significant result of receiving the check is a blessed reminder of the years that I served as pastor to the people of the Community Baptist Church in Fulton Heights in Medford. I'm also reminded of the people of this First Baptist Church of Malden, the many people over the years since I first came to this church when I was in high school. I think of the nurturing, the educating, the supportive love, the affirmation of whatever gifts they saw in me, and of course, as well, the generous monetary support as I journeyed through college and seminary. Of course, now and for many past years, I, along with my husband, contribute to the retired ministers and missionaries offering in order that other ministers who are retired might have less monetary struggles. So God bless you, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Doreen.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Doreen.
So yes, when I learned this week that the offering had gone over goal, I said maybe I should take January off from now on because the offering was much better while I was absent than while. So either Pastor Rich had bit more words of encouragement, or you were more generous in some way. But anyway, so I'm very glad, because usually this is the one offering that if we meet goal, it trickles in much later, or somebody makes up the difference to make the goal. So very honored. But if someone has not given or would like to give or is motivated by something Doreen said this morning, by all means, just because we set a goal, and yes, we've surpassed that goal, doesn't mean that we won't accept other gifts. So if someone feels so inclined, there are special offering envelopes over on the counter, if you'd like to give or give an additional gift. As we remember and say thank you to American Baptist clergy and missionaries and ministers in our denomination. And I don't know, when do you receive the check? Is it in the fall?
December.
It's like after Thanksgiving time. We do the offering and promotion of the offering in January. A lot of churches do it at Thanksgiving time or sometime in December. And we finally moved it to January because there were so many other appeals taking place between Thanksgiving and Christmas that it was just getting lost in the process. So all the material says, and I looked at the one in the kitchen, you know, retired ministers and missionaries offering 2015. Well, that's because we're a little late doing it. But, you know, it is, it's when we do it in January, after the Christmas season, while we're still in a giving mode, and Thanksgiving mode as well, recognizing those spiritual leaders who have pastored to us in the past. So now we're going to segue into a time of prayer. And I do have a few requests I'd like to share with you this morning, and you may have others that you'd like to share. We want to keep those folks in our membership who are away in warmer climates between Florida and Hawaii and maybe other spots, but spending the winter months away, but we want to keep the hardy, remember hardy folks that are still staying in New England as well. But we want to keep Dottie Latta in prayer. Dottie is suffering from the flu and is, you know, quite sick, and has been for a few days, and the doctor just tells her, you know, rest and fluids and some Tylenol if you need it, and you know, have to let it take its course. We want to keep Dottie in prayer. Keep Dave in prayer, too, as he's caring for us. We want to keep Jackie May. I know we've been praying for Jackie, and Jackie's not doing very well at all. She is in hospice, and it looks like the end may be really soon. So we want to keep Jackie and her husband, Alan, in prayer at this time. As I mentioned earlier to some folks, I did speak with Claire Stevens yesterday, and she wanted me to say hello to everyone and to also bring us up to date on her brother-in-law, Gerald, that basically has been told there's nothing else medically the doctors can do, but he is feeling, she spoke with him last week, feeling a little stronger. Making some decisions for himself and basically saying, no, I don't want this, and yes, I do want that, but eating a little bit more. So we want to keep Gerald Stevens in prayer. Also, we want to keep Liz and Dave Hart in prayer. Dave's dad is very, very sick. Has congestive heart failure. Has been in and out of the hospital several times, but did speak to Liz this week, and things do not look very good. So basically, there's a do not resuscitate order in place, so we just want to keep the Hart family in prayer today. And also, Betty Hickey mentioned to me this morning to keep their daughter-in-law Lisa in prayer, and she's had surgery on one eye, and that was successful, I take it, and awaiting now just to have surgery on the other eye. So I want to keep Lisa in prayer today as well. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or...
We forgot my daughter's father-in-law. Just went into hospice also.
Elizabeth.
BJ's.
Okay. So we want to keep him in prayer as well.
And her aunt, Aunt Didi.
She should be home hopefully by this weekend, if not next weekend.
Okay. So you want to keep, so several folks in the Hickey extended family, we want to keep in prayer today. Okay. Any other requests for prayer? Marilyn.
Linda and I are traveling on Friday to New Orleans for a week.
So vacation time, I hope.
Yes.
So I want to keep you up. Yeah, and those who are traveling, if it's been this past weekend, it might have been tough travels. But, you know, do want to keep those who are traveling and, you know, those that are, you know, backed up now that may not be traveling for a few days, stuck wherever they are. I know I was hearing somebody this morning saying they're supposed to fly today and they've been booked. Now Tuesday, they bumped to at least Tuesday. They can't fly. So we just want to lift up those and lift up Marilyn and Linda, especially as they're traveling. Any other requests for prayer? Richard, you mentioned the other day to me about Heather that she's doing very well.
Very well. Michael probably knows more than I do.
Actually,
actually, I saw her a few weeks ago. They had a party for 100 days post-transplant, and it was great. The one concern was her biopsy, which she was nervous about, and it showed a little bit, they were concerned about her liver, and that she may have to go off her experimental drug, which was keeping her alive, mm-hmm. but that's good news. There's no cancer in the biopsy, and she can stay on the drug.
Oh, good.
So
that's good news.
She thanks us all for our prayers. And
we want to keep her in prayer.
Yes.
Keep her in
prayer. Things are looking better.
Joe. I'm about a pre-celebratory prayer for our New England patriots.
God doesn't listen to those jokes.
God doesn't take sides. We can pray for the game that they play fairly.
Nobody gets hurt.
Yeah. So good.
Pray that nobody gets hurt, Joe.
Yeah, that's right. Pray that no one gets hurt. It's a clean game, you know, Joe really wants that, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yes, you know, there's a little football game going on, so at least it's not here. It's not here, so
very major though.
But it's a major game. For those that follow football, those that follow the Patriots and the Broncos, it's a very huge game. Any other prayer requests this morning? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that's been mentioned or something that's on your heart. So let's pray together. Gracious God, it is so good to be out and about on this sunny Sunday morning. After such a dreary day yesterday, Lord, to see the sun again, it just lifts our spirits. And it just, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the safe journeys that each of us have been on this morning to get here, to arrive without incident, to have cleaned out at home, perhaps. You know, some are cleaning out here at the church, and we're grateful for that. Lord, just having an opportunity of gathering in this place to worship you. Lord, we pray for others that may be in the process of trying to get here, and others who are at home dealing with snow removal, or perhaps illness, or for whatever reason they're not able to be here. Lord, we are reminded that you've said that where two or three are gathered in your name, that your spirit is there, and we thank you that your spirit is with us this morning. We do lift up those who are ill this morning, O God, and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for others, Lord, who we believe may be concluding their lifetime here on earth very shortly, and we just lift them up to you, Lord, and just pray for your spirit of comfort and compassion to be with them and their loved ones in these moments. We just pray that they may sense your loving spirit with them. Lord, we pray for those who are homebound, not because of weather, but just because of whatever circumstance in their life, cannot get out as they might wish. And we just pray, Lord, that they may sense your spirit to be with them. We pray, Lord, for those who have been impacted by the weather in the last few days across our country, and those especially who have been trying to travel and are stuck in airports or in hotel rooms, not where they wanted to be this weekend, but where they ended up being. We just thank you, Lord, for their safety, but where we recognize that some people have died because of the storm in other parts of the country, and we just lift their families up today as well. And we pray for those who are in the process of digging out, especially south of us, where they encountered and received much more snow than we did here. Lord, we're just mindful of the dangers that it can be.
And Lord, we just pray for those who are in other climates today, those in our church family who have successfully and safely journeyed to other parts of the country, and just, you know, pray for their time away, that there may be a time of rest and relaxation, rejuvenation, refreshment. For some, it's visiting with family. For others, it's getting away from the cold. For whatever purpose, Lord, we just pray that your spirit would be with them as well. Lord, we're mindful today of our retired American Baptist missionaries and ministers, and we lift them up in prayer, Lord. And we're so grateful for the generosity of people within our congregation who have given to this offering this month and have surpassed our mission board's goal for this offering. But Lord, we lift the people up today who have received thank you gifts. And Lord, many of us have experienced American Baptist leadership in our lives growing up or as adults. And Lord, we just thank you for those who have retired now, and just, you know, a small way of saying thank you to them, but we lift them up in prayer as well. Thank you for their ministry and all the lives that they touched in many different ways throughout their lives. Lord, we again thank you for being able to be together today, and we ask for your spirit to continue being with us and blessing us. So we pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
we do love you. And we express our love in many different ways. And we've done that through our voices this morning, and we're doing that now by presenting these tithes and gifts to you. We ask that you would bless these and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Share the love that you have for all of humanity with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. I should probably going to have to walk this morning to get to each other, to greet each other this morning.
Good morning.
I love you.
Seated. Dave Latta is the lay reader today. I'll be reading the scripture.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. Israel, the Lord is who created you, says, "Do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. I will give up Egypt to set you free. I will give up Ethiopia and Seba. I will give up whole nations to save your life, because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor. Do not be afraid. I am with you. From the distant east and the farthest west, I will bring your people home. I will tell the north to let them go, and the south not to hold them back. Let my people return from distant lands, from every part of the world. They are my own people, and I created them to bring me glory." These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray together. Lord, those ancient words that we have just read and heard from your prophet Isaiah are words that we also need to hear today. While circumstances may be different from the early Israelites, that the message from you is that you love us, and you care for us, and you will protect us, is a message that we need to hear as well. Lord, in these moments we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive words of assurance and comfort and challenge from you that may help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Did you make any resolutions for the new year? Not asking if you've kept them. I'm just asking if you made any. One of the purposes of setting resolutions is to break bad habits, to establish better or healthier ones. And since we're approaching the end of January, it's a good time to assess where we are in working towards our goals for 2016. During my recuperation over the last several weeks, I've had some time to reflect on and evaluate my life, and I've come to some conclusions about what is important and what may not be as important as I once thought. And one of those topics revolves around the theme of worry. How many times have we heard or even said the word, those four little words, "Don't worry about that"? Those words are so easy to say, but so difficult to put into practice. For most of us, worry far too much. Many of the scenarios that we most often worry about revolve around the bad things that can happen in life. The experiences are filled with fear, but the fact we most often forget is how rare most of those circumstances are. Chief among them, perhaps in this obsessively anxious era, is the fear of jihadi terrorist attacks. For us in the U.S., our view of life changed on 9/11. And while no similar catastrophe has materialized here, we have witnessed brutal attacks around the world. And most of the worst mass killings on American soil since 9/11 have been perpetrated by gun-obsessed, homegrown terrorists whose motives for attacking churches, schools, places of work, and movie theaters are far less clear. But other possible but improbable things that exist about which we could worry, for example, shark attacks if we go swimming in the ocean, the collapse of our economy, or getting hit by an asteroid. We laugh, but if we name something, there's probably somebody worrying about it someplace and feeling anxious about that. Some psychologists draw a distinction between acute anxiety and chronic anxiety. Acute anxiety, they say, is related to some immediate threat. So if we were to step out our front door and come face to face with a grizzly bear, that's acute anxiety that we're feeling. Yet if we wake up each morning with a sense of free-floating dread, but have very little idea where those dark feelings are coming from, nor any idea how we might break up that pattern and break free from those feelings, then chances are we're victims of and suffering from chronic anxiety. Thinking of the word anxiety, that word anxious is historically related to a Latin word which literally means to choke or to strangle. Many people living in a state of chronic anxiety describe having difficulty breathing at times or feeling that they can't catch their breath. There's another English word that traces the same root, same Latin word, and that word is angina. That sharp, piercing pain that precedes oftentimes a heart attack. angina arises when one of the coronary arteries becomes choked off by arterial plaque, blocking oxygen from reaching the heart muscle. Now, a third word that traces its roots back to that same word is the word anger. Anxious people, if we think about it, are often angry people, or at least lash out that way. They sense the breath of life of their soul being choked off, and so they lash out, flailing wildly in an effort to remove the threat, whatever they imagine that threat to be. So these three words, anxiety, angina, and anger, the ingredients of a chronic consternation complex that's plaguing many of us in these trying times. We've been subject to alarmist headlines for so long that we've come to believe that the world is a fundamentally scary place. Some people don't want to open their door. They don't answer the telephone. They're suspicious of the mail that comes. They want to isolate themselves and cut themselves off because the world is too scary. Although we may imagine ourselves to be the most anxiety-ridden people ever, we may look back longingly into the past before our generation and to the pre-industrial past and think that they must have had a golden age of serenity. Well, if we travel back far enough, we go back to the scripture time, Bible times, we realize that that was hardly the case. Speaking God's word to a community of Israelites who were in Babylonian captivity, our scripture reminds us that when you pass through the waters, the Lord says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they should not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. It may be difficult for us to conceptualize what the Jewish people went through as they were uprooted from their homes and transported to the Babylonian capital. We have to remember that not everybody in Judah, that southern kingdom of Israel, was compelled to relocate. Just the political, the intellectual, the economic elite, the ruling classes were the ones that were carted off. Settling the cream of Judah's leadership and society into comfortable quarters in a neighborhood of the city that was all their own, the Babylonian overlords made certain that there were none from the defeated nation's leadership who could stir up a rebellion back home. It was the peasants that were left. They didn't have any power. They were not going to be a threat. All the ones that had power were taken to Babylon. The extent of this disruption in the lives of the exiles may be difficult for us to imagine because we live in such a different type of society today. We're a mobile society, many of us willing to move across the continent if necessary for work or family responsibilities. And even if we make such a move, we know that the airlines can fly us, if need be, in a matter of hours, weather permitting. But the entire identity of the Jewish people, by contrast, was rooted in their theological understanding of the land that they had lived in, that they had been given to them, that they had possessed. They were proud to be the chosen people Moses had led out of Egypt to claim the land of milk and honey for their own. And they defended that for generations so strongly. The land was, they saw, as the principal sign of the Lord's favor being upon them. The continual reminder that they lived in a state of divine grace. And the Temple Mount in Jerusalem was the spiritual center of their universe. When all of this was suddenly snatched away from them, or they were snatched away from it, really, the exiles were racked with worry, not only for their immediate physical circumstances, but also whether they could maintain an identity as the Lord's chosen people without the tangible reality of the promised land. How could they be God's people when they weren't in God's promised land for them? They also wondered how they could worship God away from their cherished temple. Their cry of despair is echoed in Psalms 137. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? The prophet Isaiah assures these people with a message from the Lord. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Who but the Lord could accomplish such a wonder, redeeming the exiles from their hopeless situation? How could such a miraculous release from their captivity happen unless the Lord willed it? This prophetic passage envisions the exiles' journey home, passing even through rushing rivers without hindrance or danger. This message from the Lord can speak to us as well. It's not just a message for the exiled Israelites. We're not the first generation of human beings to feel inundated by worry. By nature, we are a worrying people. At times, worry keeps us appropriately vigilant so that we may fend off tangible threats. Yet more often than not, worry is simply a burden that we carry around with us. Yet today's scripture reminds us that we need not fear. We can live without anxiety because God created us, God formed us, God redeemed us. God calls us by name and God says, you are mine. Not only to us collectively, but to each one of us individually, God says, you are mine. If we truly believe that God says, you are mine, then how can we be anxious about the things that cross our pathways? This does not mean that there will not be waters to pass through or fires to put out. When we think about, then, what might we face today? Even if we say we understand and we accept that the Lord says, you are mine, what might we have to endure? Probably, in all probability, not a terrorist attack, but possibly a heart attack or some other type of collapse. Probably not a shark bite, but maybe some biting comments made by others. We might probably not suffer from a home invasion, but we might have unexpected intrusions and unwelcomed interruptions. Truth is, if we insist on worrying about stuff that might happen, we don't need to look very far for possibilities. But such anxiety does not honor the God who created us, who calls us by name, and not only says, you are mine, but also says, you are precious in my sight. So not only does God claim us, but he honors us by telling us that we're precious in his sight. There are numerous self-help books and programs available to help us kick unwanted habits. In fact, the Boston Globe reported this week that a new wearable device named Pavlok has been developed that will zap us with a sharp electric shock to help us shake off bad habits. The only problem with this device, this aversion therapy device, is that we have to tell it when we're practicing the bad habit. Needs a little more development, I think. But Scripture offers an alternative. We don't need to wear a device around our wrist or hang it around our neck. The Bible says that we should cast all our anxiety on the Lord because he cares for you. Instead of a painful electric shock, this biblical author echoes the comforting voice of Isaiah the prophet. Yes, there are worries in life, and yes, we may feel as if we're being choked at times, yet our God is a loving, personal God, one who cares for us so much that he came to be with us. Chronic anxiety, unlike the acute variety, is not based on outside threats. It arises from within each of us. The solution to such homegrown worry can only come from within, from deep in our heart of hearts, as God touches us there with continual loving care. Let's pray together. Lord, we do come today and we do confess that we have some habits that are good for us and some that are not so good. Lord, as we have focused on worry today, we must also confess that at times our worries may seem irrational to others, yet we may have this sense of dread inside. Lord, help us to remember the words of Isaiah, that you love us, that you redeem us, that you care for us, that you call us by name, and you see us as being precious in your sight. Lord, help us to grasp onto that promise whenever we feel like we're being choked by the anxious, anxiety-producing feelings we have. Lord, help us to relinquish those feelings to you because we know that you care for us. As we have begun this new year, Lord, help it to be a time of renewal, a time of newness in our lives. Lord, help us to get rid of the bad habits that we may have, that we may continue to look toward you, to be transformed into the people that you want us to be. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is printed in the bulletin as an insert, and it's Through the Love of God Our Savior. The blessings of God the Creator, Jesus our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit our guide go with us. May we go forth rejoicing that our God is always with us in all times, in all places, in all the seasons of our lives. Amen.